Lord of the Sabbath by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Mark chapter number 2 and into chapter 3. Let's pray before I get started. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful today that we can be in your house. Thank you for each and every one you've sent today. Help us, Lord, to delight in you. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. We need truth today. Truth will set us free. We need that truth in our lives. We need you, Lord Jesus, who are, as you said yourself, the way, the truth, and the life. Guide us today by your Spirit. Speak to the hearts of your people. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to rely upon you, and learn that your ways are the right ways. God, help us to walk in them daily. So many trials and temptations in life, Lord, we need you. We need you every day, every hour, to be with us, to give us your guiding light, to show us the way to life through you, a life that is much more than this world offers. Guide us, teach us, bless us. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. I threw both of these little, I don't know what you would call them, incidents together, I guess that's the best way to put it. These two incidents together because they both occurred on the Sabbath day. For the Jewish people, the Sabbath was a special day, a day of rest, of remembrance. God, originally, when he created the heavens and the earth and mankind, worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. Establishing a covenant with his people Israel, eventually. And he called them to come aside to rest and reflect on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was Saturday, actually. And so God's people have this special covenant with him. Exodus chapter number 31, and I'm going to go there and read from that portion of Scripture. If I can get there. Yeah, Exodus 31 and verse 12 down through verse 17. Exodus, the second book in the Bible, describes how God took his people Israel out of Egypt. They had become slaves down there, but God had other plans for them. He had a land that he promised to give them, the land that flows with milk and honey, he said. They would eventually find out that it did flow with milk and honey. In fact, it always amazed me as a child when they talked about the spies that went into that land, spied it out, and found a cluster of grapes so large, so huge, it took 2 men to carry it. Could you imagine that? A cluster of grapes so big that 2 men had to take a pole and between them bore that cluster of grapes. That's a land that flows with milk and honey.
Amen.
That is a prosperous land. When you look at Israel, you wouldn't think it was the same place. And it isn't exactly today. rate, as they came to that place of promise, the Lord spoke to their leader, Moses, whom they were following. And God asked him to say this. God said, "Speak thou also to the children of Israel," verse 13 of Exodus 31, "and say, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death." Now, God's pretty serious, right? Yeah. "Keep the Sabbath or you'll be put to death." Okay. So to me, that says God's serious about this. Yeah. "For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." Now, when God says it once, it's important. God says it twice, you better open your eyes up and look and see what God has to say. Verse 16, "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations." Notice this. "For it is a perpetual covenant." Okay? Perpetual covenant. "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." In other words, God said to Moses, "You tell the Israelites the Sabbath is a covenant between me and them. The Israelites were not to do any work on the Sabbath day." God was serious about that. "You do your part," God said, "I'll do my part." If God's people kept their covenant, God blessed. And we all know where the blessings come from. The Word of God says, "Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights," that's God, "and he giveth to us liberally." God's a good Father. He wants to give us good gifts. He wanted to give the Israelites of old good gifts. A promised land. A place of wherein they would be blessed. But he also said, "Here's the covenant. You set aside that one day to rest and refresh yourselves in me." God said, "You do that, I'll bless you." There's the covenant. All we had to do was keep the Word of God. Follow God. I read this portion of Scripture because I want you to understand where the Israelites were during Christ's time. When Jesus Christ walked this earth, they knew they still had a covenant with God. They needed to go and set aside this one day for God. It's not too much to ask. Is it? One day for God. It's important to remember everything you and I have is really a blessing from God. God provides it. It's not because I'm so smart or wise or good looking or handsome, or if I can play basketball or football or whatever else and make millions of dollars. It's really not me. It's interesting how the world puts value on people. You know, the world looks at you and says, how much money you got? Right? God looks at us and sees us all as equal before Him. Doesn't matter if you're the lowest guy on the totem pole, if you will, or the one at the top of the heap. Know what I'm talking about? Whether you're the guy that doesn't have a thing or whether you're Elon Musk. Doesn't matter. We all need God Amen. In our lives.
Amen.
And we all need to realize everything we have is a gift from Him.
Amen.
Our health. Our wealth or lack thereof. God puts us all in a position before Him. We all need Him. And we especially need Him to help us get to the place I believe that most of us want to be.
Amen.
Amen? Not too many people want to go to hell, right? Not too many people are lining up for that. Oh, I've talked to several people in my pastoral experience. They said, I want to go to hell with my buddies. Guess what? You won't have no fun with your buddies in hell. The rich man that Jesus talked about went to hell, and he find out you're all alone. You're all alone there. Right? Separated. From all help and all hope. That's not a place I want to go. It's not a place that anybody ought to need to go. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to make a way for us all to get to heaven.
I want to heaven.
You have to have lost your mind if you want to go to hell. Right?
Amen.
It's a really hot place. It's so hot you don't want to be there. But there's no end to the torment. That's the problem. It goes on and on and on and on and never ends. Being hot is not the worst thing. You know, I've been in some hot places. I remember as a kid when we used to have grain bins. In those days, we had 1,000-bushel bins. Those galvanized 1,000-bushel bins. And you would get in the grain bin, back in the back, and you would scoop the wheat back up into the back side. After a while, when I started farming, I said, Dad, you know what? We can take that top lid off, we can support that underneath, and we can dump it in the middle, and we won't have to get in the bin when we're putting wheat in. Sounded like a good idea to me. Actually, Dad agreed. He said, that's a good idea. It's kind of dusty in a bin when it's hot. The end of July and it's 100 degrees in the shade.
Right.
Yeah.
I bet.
Those are the days my dad liked to harvest wheat. Hey, it's 100 today. Man, we can cut wheat today. You ever been in a grain bin?
I've been to the 10th.
All right. I got a man after my own heart. He knows what it's like. John, I'll bet you have.
I spent a few days in them.
Spent a few days in them. But it's not fun, and neither is hell going to be any fun. Right?
I designed to be.
No!
why it's called hell.
It's torments of every kind. Not just hot. Every kind of torment you can imagine is there. God doesn't want us there. He wants us to be with Him. And He makes a way for us to get there. You see, you and I, we cannot get there on our own. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now, God looked all over. He couldn't find any righteous individual. There's only one way to make that happen. That's by an atoning sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, for us. He died for us so that we can live eternally. Aren't you glad? To His people of old, He said, hey, what you've got to do is you've got to obey Me and serve Me. 6 days you'll labor, the seventh you'll rest. And I'll take care of all the rest. Right?
Amen.
And so here's the Sabbath day. A key day. Actually, they weren't to do any kind of work at all on the Sabbath. Now, there were some real sticklers on keeping the law among the Jews. Scribes and Pharisees, generally. And that's what we find here in our first section. Came to pass that He went through the cornfields, it says on the King James. Actually, it's the grain fields. They don't know anything over there about corn, as we know corn, or maize, any of those kind of things. What they know about is the different grains, like wheat and barley. The main crops that they grew. Barley would come earlier, and then follow the wheat. The law permitted a person in those days to go through somebody's field, and if they were hungry, they could pluck the grain, take the ears, or the heads, if you will. And maybe some of you have done this. Pull off a head of grain and shell it out. We call it shelling out in your hand. Blow the chaff away. You don't want to eat the chaff. And I saw my dad do this many times. He would do this before he would start harvesting the wheat crop. He would take that head and he would shell it out, part of it, and he would get some of those grains there, and then he'd blow, get that chaff out of there. You don't want that, your beard down in your throat. And then he'd chew on it. He wanted it to snap. It's dry, he said. Red harvest. These disciples, if you go in another reference to the same time, they were hungry. And it's permitted, if you were hungry, to go into somebody else's field. You could pluck some of that grain. You could shell it out and eat it. You couldn't take your sickle out there and harvest his crop. No, you could take enough to satisfy your hunger. That was permitted according to their law. And that's what they were doing. Now, they weren't supposed to work, and technically, these disciples were working. And some people say, oh boy, they're working out there. That's not good. Jesus, what are you teaching these guys? You know, they shouldn't be working. This is the Sabbath day. This is the day we're supposed to rest. Guess where they were headed? They were headed to the synagogue to worship. But by golly, they hadn't had anything to eat for a while, and they needed something to eat. Otherwise, they couldn't hear the preacher proclaim what was going to be shared that day. That's what they did. And listen to me. They did not have the Word of God in their homes in those days. Today, you and I can have a Bible. You could probably find, I don't know how many in my house. A bunch. And probably more than one in your house, right? Bibles are easily accessed. And that day, the one that had the Bible was the priest. Okay? The priest that was in that synagogue. And so on the Sabbath day, they would all come. He would stand up. He would read a portion of the Word of God. And by the way, that was the Old Testament in that day. They didn't have the New Testament yet. They would read it. Then they would explain it. Okay? I call that expository preaching. Okay, that's what they taught me when I went to school. That don't mean nothing though. You either got or you don't. Amen?
Amen.
Either God calls you to preach or proclaim His truth, or you don't have that backing of God and that enabling of God to be able to do that. It's of God. Everything's from God. So here they are. They're going to worship God. They're going to the synagogue. Probably Jesus will probably stand up and read. Probably Jesus will stand up and explain what it means, because that's what normally he did. He would go all over those villages, and almost every village would have at least one synagogue. Kind of like churches today. And so if I was going to go to a synagogue in that day, guess where I'd want to go? Where's Jesus preaching today? Where is he preaching? Because he preached as one who had authority. He knew what he was talking about. The ordinary scribes and Pharisees many times didn't know. Didn't understand the truths of God. And they taught the people, hey, do absolutely nothing on the Sabbath day. But you know what? They would go to great lengths. So, for example, they couldn't walk over about a mile and a half on the Sabbath day. But if they wanted to go 3 miles, all they did was put up a booth down here at the end of a mile and a half so they could walk the whole distance. Nuts! They dreamed up ideas how to get out of the law. And yet they caused the people to have a hard time to keep the law. So here they are. And Jesus' disciples pluck the grain, they eat it, and they say, why do your disciples that which is not lawful on the Sabbath day? Why do you permit them to do that if you're such a great teacher? Notice Jesus' response. Have you never read what Jesus, what David did when he was in need and was a hungry? And those that were with him, how that he went into the house of God, he did eat the showbread, which was not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to the men that were with him. Okay? So Jesus said, do you not remember what happened in the days when David was going to become king? He was not king yet, but he was going to become king. Now, in the minds of the Israelites, David could do no bad. I mean, he couldn't do anything wrong. And so, Jesus said, hey, in those days, David went into the house of God. It's kind of like communion here. He took the bread, which, by the way, was on a table very similar size to this, and there were 12 loaves. Each loaf represented one of the tribes of Israel, 12 loaves. indicating that God would supply for all the Israelites. God is the one supplying for them. Jesus said this about himself: I am the bread of heaven. He that eateth of me shall never hunger. Okay? Those that know the Lord, have the Lord in their life, they have a spiritual food that feeds them day by day. Jesus Christ is that bread for God's people today. He said, Jesus said, remember what David did? He went into the house of God. The Old Testament said only the priests were to eat of that showbread there in the tabernacle or in the synagogue, wherever it was. They're the only ones. David ate that bread. His men ate that bread. Why? They were hungry. Hungry. He said to them further, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Okay? Man is more valuable to me than that bread. If a man is hungry, he is able and should be able to take care of his needs on that day. Amen?
Amen.
That's what Jesus is saying. Man is more important than the day of rest. Man is more valuable in the sight of God. That's why he sent his son to become our Savior. Amen? Because we are valuable to him. And when we trust Jesus as our personal Savior, we have that vital connection to him. God blesses them in our lives. He further said in verse 28, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is Lord of all. By the way, he planned to take away this old covenant to make a new covenant. You realize now in Jesus Christ we have a new covenant with God. The old covenant passes away. The new covenant comes. The covenant between us and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one who can forgive sin. Let me quickly explain. In the book of Hebrews, if you would look back in there, it talks about the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Okay? And Jesus said this, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And what did Jesus Christ come to do? He became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Christ died for us. He shed his blood for us so that we could have this new covenant with God through himself. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All we need to do is claim the blood of Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, and thou shalt be saved. That's God's promise to us. And so Jesus once again comes to the synagogue. And in chapter 3, they watched him. Because there was a man there that had this withered hand. Okay? They watched to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath day. That they might accuse him. It says in verse number 2. He said to the man, stand forth. He said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? To save life or to kill? And they held their peace because they knew that Jesus had them. They would have to agree the Sabbath was a day to do good, to magnify the Lord, to give Him praise and glory. That's what today is, because Christ came to provide that new covenant with us. Through the blood of Christ, we can have a new relationship with God. His blood washes us from all our sin. The blood of those bulls and goats could not. So they offered year after year those sacrifices. But then comes Christ, offers Himself, and once for all, He provides that cleansing that we all need. Thanks be to God. The work's complete. Christ makes a Sabbath for us. We can rest in Him, realizing if we confess our sins, He forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God for what Christ has done for us.
Amen.
The old Sabbath is set aside so that we can have a day of rejoicing in Christ, delighting in the work that He's done, and the new covenant that we have with God through Him. Christ redeems and saves. Christ heals. Christ helps us every day. Thanks be to God for what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your amazing gift of new life. Help us, Lord, to believe and receive this gracious gift. Help us to recognize that the new covenant through Christ is far superior to the old. We thank You, Lord, that in Christ we have a promise of eternity with You. A new life, new beginnings, and a greater life beyond in eternity. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done and continue to do in our lives. Work through us and in us, and make us all into the people You want us to be. We ask and pray in Christ's name.